We are excited to welcome Bob Menzies to go ahead and come on up, and he's going to share with us this morning. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you. It is a special joy to be with you here at Summit Worship Center this morning. It's Pentecost Sunday, and we have already sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And I believe that the Lord has much more for us this morning as well. You know, on that first Pentecost Sunday, when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples, in Acts 2, Luke describes how the Holy Spirit inspired those disciples to speak in the languages of all of the people present. You see, it was the Feast of Pentecost. And Jews, Luke tells us, from every nation under heaven had gathered together. And so the Holy Spirit falls upon those disciples, and they begin to speak in the multiple languages of those present. It wasn't one language. It was the language of all of those nations represented. It was one message. And that is the wonders of God, a message certainly that's centered on Jesus. One message, but multiple languages. You know, I'm a visitor here to Alaska, and one of the things that has really impacted me is to see how diverse Anchorage and this community is. I'm told that three of the high schools at Anchorage are three of the most diverse high schools in the nation. Multiple languages in those high schools. And as we think of Pentecost, we are reminded of the mission that God has called us to be a part of. We are reminded of the character of the church that He gives birth to through His Holy Spirit. We are reminded of how the Holy Spirit He desires to empower us and to use us to cross those cultural barriers, to cross those linguistic barriers, and take the gospel to other people. That was the original, that was the first Pentecost. And then in 1906, at the Azusa Street Revival, there was another outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was reminiscent of what took place on that first day of Pentecost. And listen to these words. These are the words of William Seymour. He was an African-American brother who led that important revival. And this is what William Seymour wrote at the beginning of that revival. This is from the Apostolic Faith magazine in November of 1906. And William Seymour wrote these words, describing what was taking place at the Azusa Street Revival. This is what he wrote. He said, "The meeting has been a melting time. The people are all melted together, made one lump, one bread, all one body in Christ Jesus. There is no Jew or Gentile, bond or free in the Azusa mission. No instrument that God can use is rejected on account of color or dress or lack of education. This is why God has built up the work. The sweetest thing is the loving harmony." You see, many different tongues, and yet one message. Jesus is Lord. Well, this morning, I want to focus our attention on just a wonderful section of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul. And it speaks to each one of us because it is a description of who we are in Christ. And it tells us what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through our lives together. And so I would ask you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, And I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. But to set the stage, let's look first of all at verse 13 and 14. This is what Paul writes. Paul is writing to a group of largely Gentiles. It's a mixed church of Jews and Gentiles. But at this point, he's speaking primarily to Gentiles. And this is what he writes. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he, that is Christ, he himself is our peace, who has made the two, that is Jew and Gentile, he's made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In Christ, that wall is destroyed." And then skip down to verse 18. Paul writes, "For through him, Christ, for through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." It's a beautiful picture that because of Christ's life, his death, and resurrection, the walls of hostility that separated us from God have been torn down. The wall of hostility that separated us from one another has been torn down. Amen. And so he comes to this conclusion, and this is what I want to focus our attention on this morning. This is verse 19 through 22. Paul writes, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Think of that. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. This is a picture of who we are in Christ. Well, this morning I want to look at this passage. And as I look at this passage, I see that there are three characteristics of the church that are described here. Paul uses three wonderful metaphors to help us understand who we are in Jesus Christ. The first metaphor that he uses is fellow citizens. We see this in verse 19. He says, "Consequently, because of Christ's death on the cross, because of his resurrection, consequently, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people." Fellow citizens. I love that term, fellow citizens. You see, my wife and I, we have lived in China for most of the past 30 years. We have not been able to be returned to China because of the COVID situation. But for most of the last 30 years, I have lived and served in China. And in China, they have a particular term that I hear a lot. Whenever I walk outside in the streets, you know, often the little children will point to me and they'll say, "Lao Wai, Lao Wai." I hear the term Lao Wai frequently in China. And literally, Lao Wai means old outsider. Old outsider. Now, I need to qualify that, okay? I just turned 64, but I've been in China a lot. Even when I was young, I was in China. The term old in China is not a pejorative term. It's a term of respect. And so to say you're an old outsider is really a polite way of saying, well, you're different. And as hard as I try in China, I cannot blend in. I've tried, but it just doesn't work. And part of the reason is, you know, in China they have another term. Now, they're too polite to use this term often, but it's very descriptive. They have a term called da bizi. Da is big, Beza is nose. And so I'm not going to blend into China very often. So I hear this term Laowai often. In fact, I remember I was walking through a very remote village. This is many years ago. And, you know, in this village, there was a narrow alleyway that separated the walls. So villages are usually just a grouping of many, many walls and little narrow alleyways. And I was walking through this alleyway, and up ahead, there was a gateway, and a little boy, probably 4 years old, burst through that gateway. He had his head down and started running towards me. And he hadn't seen me until he almost ran right into me. And he finally came to my feet, and I still remember watching his eyes because he started looking up. It was like this. And when he got to my face, he burst into tears and raced back exactly how he got right back into that. Well, that's sometimes the impact I have in China. So I hear this term. If I had a dollar for every time I heard the term Laowai, I would be a wealthy, wealthy man. But you know, Paul tells us, as we read this passage, Paul tells us, in the past, we were all strangers and foreigners. In the past, we were all alienated from God, and we were alienated from one another. We were foreigners, strangers. And you know, when you look in our world today, you see that so clearly. The divisions, the walls of hostility that divide us. And so Paul says, you know, this is what you were in the past. You were all strangers and aliens. But now, because of Christ, now in Christ, we are fellow citizens. Oh, I love that. I love that. You see, in Christ, I'm no longer a Laowai. I am a fellow citizen. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, wherever you go around the world, as a follower of Jesus Christ, wherever you go, when you enter into a place of worship such as this, when you gather together in the presence of other believers, there is a bond that unites us. And I have found that in China. You know, when I am with my Chinese friends, the Chinese brothers and sisters, I am no longer a Laowai, but I am rather a fellow citizen. And we share this rich experience of God's grace in Jesus Christ. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us that our life is dramatically changed at a fundamental level. Everything is changed. And our identity, who we are, is changed. And so in China, I tell my Chinese friends that, you know, I have come to China not representing the United States, that I am not primarily defined by being an American. Now, I love the fact that I'm an American, and I thank the Lord for that. And I encourage my Chinese friends that they too should love their nation and seek to be a blessing to their nation. But that doesn't define who I am. In fact, you know, when I'm in China, the president never calls me when he visits. I don't know, you know. That's not what defines me. That's not who I am. What defines me is my faith in Jesus Christ. And everything else is a distant second or third or fourth in comparison. I am a Christian first, and then a St. Louis Cardinal fan second. Okay, we'll have to work through this, I think. American third, you know, and in Alaska, it's the same. With the diversity we have here, we can rejoice in the fact that, yes, we all represent rich cultures. God is the creator of every culture and every language. God is the creator of every culture and every language, and this is the destiny that he has for us. Listen to these words. This is Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And this is what we read. This is the picture that John the Revelator gives us of our destiny in our future as the church. John writes this, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." You see, this is a picture of our destiny. People from every tribe, nation, people, and language coming before the throne and forming a choir and singing praises to the Lord. Amen. That is our future. I have friends in China who are from a particular minority group called the Miao tribe. And they have been pushed across the face of China. They live in the most remote regions. They're the poorest of the poor. They tend to be small in stature. But as you walk into their villages, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, their villages are the center is always the church. And their choirs are absolutely beautiful. And so I love to speak to my Miao friends and emphasize, you know, this is our future, that we are going to be a great choir where we sing together praises to Jesus. And I emphasize, you know, you guys are going to be on the front row. You're going to be on the front row. I just came earlier this morning from a Samoan worship service. And I'll tell you, they're going to be on the front row as well, too. They're going to be on the front row. And, you know, I have to be honest with you. I think I'm going to be in the back row. And the Lord may say, "Bob, you know, sing a little softer, will you?" But we are all going to be a part of that choir together because we are fellow citizens. And I love this. I love the fact that the unity that we find in Christ is supernatural because it's a unity in the midst of diversity. It's not a unity that says, oh, we all have to be the same. It's a unity that flows from our common experience of God's grace in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Fellow citizens. The second word, the second metaphor that Paul uses in Ephesians 2 is another beautiful picture. He says that not only are we fellow citizens, he says we are members of God's family. This again is in verse 19. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but members of God's household. Members of God's family. I love this emphasis on family. You know, I am a grandfather now, and I have 6 grandchildren. And there's nothing that I love more than spending time with my grandchildren and being a part of that family. In China, this is one of the wonderful aspects of the culture there, that they emphasize family. In fact, the most significant holiday is the Chinese New Year. I don't know, some of you, maybe you celebrate that here. Yeah. Chunjie, the spring festival. And one of the key ways that they celebrate Chunjie is they if they can at all, if it's at all possible, they return to their hometown, their home village. And they, tuan yuan, they gather around the table. And it's a round table. They tuan yuan and they chi tuan yuan fan. They eat a common meal together as a family. I love this emphasis on family. But Paul tells us in Christ, our family is enlarged. Yeah, it's no longer limited to simply the biological family. It's no longer limited to that small group that we often have tensions with. It's no longer limited to that. But Paul tells us that in Christ, our family is enlarged and the relationships are deepened. In fact, in another passage, he puts it this way in this brings in the powerful work of the Spirit. In Romans 8, verses 15 and 16, Paul tells us, he says, "The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And so we cry out, "Abba, Father." Oh, I love that term. Abba, this is the mother tongue, the Aramaic mother tongue. Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we have this intimate relationship with the Father because of Christ's work on the cross. He gives us access. But it doesn't end there. I want you to think about the way that it changes and transforms our relationships with one another. Because you see, if we're brothers and sisters through this common relationship with God, if we're brothers and sisters because of our shared experience of God's grace, that transforms then our relationships with one another. And this is why it's such an amazing thing to share fellowship with Christians around the world. I remember, this goes back maybe 6 or 7 years, I had an opportunity to teach in Moscow at the Theological Institute, which is the key Pentecostal school in Moscow that brings together people from a variety of different Pentecostal churches. And it was a wonderful experience being there. But on one occasion, I thought, you know, I'm going to get out and just see the neighborhood a little bit. And I moved out beyond the boundaries of that seminary, the school there, began to walk in the streets and just encounter people. And what I found was that people were very hard. People were not friendly. People did not make eye contact. And there was just a sense of, it was grim. And there was a coldness. There was a hardness walking the streets. And it struck me. And so as I returned, I talked to the school president, and I just shared my observation. And he said to me, yeah, he said, "If you are smiling as you walk down the street," he said, "people will think you're crazy." He said, if you greet people, they're going to carry you away. But you know, what struck me is I also had an opportunity to worship together with the Christians in the churches in Moscow. And what a different experience that was. You walk into the door and there's this sense of a family. In fact, in one of the churches, I remember they take literally that, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. And my youngest daughter was with me, and I still remember this image of a little old lady who had a single tooth kind of sticking out. She came up and she embraced my daughter and planted a kiss on her cheek. And as she pulled away, you know, you could see the tooth mark right there. But oh, the sense of a family and love and connection was such a contrast to what we see outside the church. And I'll never forget, on that Sunday morning, a man responded to the altar call, and he came down that front altar. And the pastor of that church was a big burly bear of a man, Pastor Vasilia. And he, as that man walked down, I'll never forget, he just embraced him in his arms and welcomed him into the body of Christ. You see, we are members of God's family. Amen. We are members of God's family. Well, Paul continues. He says, we are fellow citizens. We are members of God's household. And then the last metaphor that I want to stress that Paul uses here is he tells us that we are God's holy temple. Can I hear an amen from the saints? We are God's holy temple. The picture Paul gives, look at this. This is in verse 21. He says, in him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The picture here is that each one of us, we are building blocks, and that God is working together. He's joining us together. He's shaping us together so that we form his holy temple. It's a beautiful picture. Paul says that individually, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. This is in 1 Corinthians 6. But he's also here, he's talking collectively. And he's saying, as we gather together, he says, we, you and I, are his holy temple. The temple is not a building out there. It's us. It's those of us who are in Christ, and he is forming that temple. Christ is the cornerstone. The foundation is the apostles and the prophets, and particularly the gospel that centers on Christ that they bring. And we are joined together with them. We are this incredible building, this holy temple. I want you to think about that. You see, God's Spirit dwells in the temple. In fact, I think of that precursor to the temple, the tabernacle. In Exodus 25 through 40, we read Moses is given very strict instructions about how they were to build the tabernacle. And when that tabernacle was finished in Exodus 40, the glory of God descends. His manifest presence descends and fills that temple. So much so that Moses initially, even Moses, couldn't enter in. His presence is so intense. And so also Solomon's temple. The Spirit fills the temple. And Paul is saying here that now we together, the church, we are the temple. And that God's Spirit fills this temple. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And this is what Pentecost reminds us of. One author put it this way, that as Christians, we are called to embrace, display, and proclaim the kingdom of God. I love that. We are called to embrace, that is, receive the gospel. We're called to embrace the kingdom. We're called to display the kingdom through the quality of our lives. And amen. I tell you what, it was beautiful to see all that's happening in the church and the center shot team, from the center shot team to the others. This is a way that we can display the kingdom of God. And we are called to proclaim the kingdom of God. You know, this is an amazing thing because we are imperfect and weak, are we not? And yet, God's Spirit lives in us. And so when we gather together, he delights to encourage, to bless, and shape us into the people that he has called us to be. I love that. You know, God loves to use jars of clay. God loves to use jars of clay. He chose Israel. Not a powerful nation. He chose Israel. They were slaves in Egypt. He chose Israel. He chose fishermen. Now, I don't want to, I know I'm in Alaska here, and I need to be careful about how I speak about fishermen. But he chose fishermen. They weren't the most powerful in the socioeconomic scale. You know, they weren't the most powerful, but he chose them, and he used them. And he has chosen us. We are his holy temple. You know, going back to the tabernacle, there were two names that were given to the tabernacle. One, the tabernacle was called the Tent of Meeting because it was the place where God met with his people. And it was also called the Tent of Witness because it was also the place where God bore witness to his character and his power. And I think today, as we gather together this morning on Pentecost Sunday 2022, that God delights to shape our lives so that we become that tent of meeting, so that he dwells in our midst, and that through our worship and through our relationships with one another, that we can display his kingdom. And he also desires that we would be that tent of witness, that as the Holy Spirit descends, just as on the days of Pentecost, just as Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So also we can be that tent of meeting, that tent of meeting. Well, fellow citizens, members of God's family, God's holy temple, this is who we are. And this is what Pentecost, as the Spirit comes on Pentecost, he seeks to enable that life and that witness that flows from that. So I want to encourage you this morning. God has called you here. God desires that through our life together that we would reflect his glory, his love, his grace. And that in a world that is shattered and torn by hostility, by walls of hostility, the Lord seeks to bear witness to his love by breaking those walls down between us. And so that as we reach out, as this church becomes that melting pot that William Seymour described, as this church embraces people from every tribe and nation and language, we can bear witness to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. Amen. Can we stand this morning? Amen. Amen. Lord. Amen. Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, we commit our lives afresh to you. Lord, the cry of our heart is that you would use us. Lord, shape us into the people that you've called us to be. Lord, let us reflect that community where we are fellow citizens, where we are family members, where we are your temple empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, let it be, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Is that good?
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.